Sharp Pritchard, and I'm here today with my colleague, fellow partner John Sharland, a specialist in local government law. Now, John, we're here today to talk about bias, predetermination, and pecuniary interests. Now, when you think about what we ordinarily understand by bias, people tend to think it's a concept that applies to the courts or to tribunals. But why should it be relevant when you're talking about the kind of administrative decisions made by local authorities?
Well, you say administrative decisions, but I mean, what you've got to remember is that a lot of those kind of decisions means that there's a great deal at stake. I mean, for instance, if you're talking about a big planning application, potentially, you know, there is millions involved. And I mean, the courts have said that those kind of decisions, people are entitled to have them determined by a decision-making body that's free of bias.
Hmm. And in the title, we talk about bias and predetermination. Are they different concepts?
I think they are different. When you're talking about bias, you mean that it's free from perceived bias. When you're talking about predetermination, you're talking about somebody having approached the decision-making process with a closed mind. In other words, although they are formally making a decision, in fact they've decided in advance what they're going to decide.
Right. So shall we first look at the test for bias?
Yes. Okay. Well, this is derived from a House of Lords decision called Porter and McGill. And that was the so-called Homes for Vote scandal in the city of Westminster. The leading members had set up what they called a designated sales policy. And the auditor believed that this was an attempt to buy votes for the Conservative Party by targeting certain wards in which to increase the number of property owners. So this was about how he set about his investigation, because he made certain provisional findings in which he used words like improper, unlawful and disgraceful. And the councillors argued that the way in which he went about this showed that he was biased. And it was at this point, as a result of this case, that the House of Lords came up with this test that's been used by courts since then in order to determine whether there was bias or not.
Mm. It looks quite a vague test, doesn't it? I thought there was quite a lot of scope for arguments about what a fair and reasonably well-informed observer might think.
Well, it is in a sense a vague test, but it stood the test of time now, and it's the sort of test that courts are used to applying.
Okay. And predetermination. So this is about approaching a decision with a closed mind.
Yes, that's right.
Because, I mean, I'm aware one of the problems you get in the local government context is that if something big and important is happening in the local area, as a local member, as a local politician, you have to form a view. You can't really keep quiet about it and say you haven't got an opinion. But on the other hand, if you've gone around saying you're for something or against it, then you know, you have as a member, you're going to need to make a decision about that, and people, when they accuse you of being biased, and say you shouldn't be involved.
Yes, that's exactly the problem. And there was a case in 2004 that caused a certain amount of anxiety in some local authorities. This was Georgia and Enfield Borough mm-hmm. Council, and what they had was an advisory group, a conservation advisory group, that looked at every planning application before it went to the planning committee for decision. And three members who'd sat on the conservation advisory group and were in favour of certain planning applications then went on to sit as members of the planning application committee, which determined them. And the courts then quashed the resulting decision, which they said a fair and reasonable-minded observer would have thought there was a real possibility of bias.
Right. But that was 2004, so before Section 25 of the Localism Act 2011 was enacted.
Yes, this was enacted precisely to deal with the problem we've just been talking about. The fact that a councillor has made comments previously about something that affects their area doesn't mean that they're automatically excluded from the decision-making process.
Mm. So has it made a difference?
Yes, I think it has. There was a case called IM Properties and Lichfield District Council, 2014, and it concerned changes to the the local plan strategy, and the chair of the group, the political group, sent an email round talking about a three-line whip and saying that members should either vote in favour of the changes or abstain.
Did they get away with that?
Yes, they did. The courts found, first of all, that the email was covered by the terms of this section, Section 25 of the Localism Act, and also that it wasn't in such strident tones that there were grounds for quashing it on the basis of bias.
Okay. So does this remove the law of bias and predetermination from the local authority arena?
No, I don't think it does. Not completely. I think if you've got a situation where it was quite clear that somebody had made their mind up in advance, the court would then still quash the resulting decision on the basis of predetermination.
Okay, so as a council officer, if you get a member who's determined to go ahead and vote, do you think you as a council officer could actually prevent them?
Well, you can't actually prevent them, but you can give advice, and then, well, they know if they go ahead, it's at considerable risk of a successful challenge.
So let's turn now to members' interests.
Yes. This is a slightly different issue. Councillors are obviously required to keep separate their own interests from those of the council. And they've got a duty. Well, there's two duties, really. First of all, they have got to declare what their interests are when they take office, and the authority's got to list those on a register of members' interests. And when something comes up at a meeting, you've got to declare your interests if they're not already on the register, and you can't participate in the decision. I mean, these are all the kinds of things, classic conflicts of interest, that you would expect to be there, and you'd expect a member to have to declare when they're taking office and not be involved in a way which gives rise to suspicion that they are looking for any kind of personal advantage.
If they don't abstain from the decision making?
Well, this is not just a question of the decision being quashed by the courts. This is really serious. It's a criminal offence, and you know, they could go to prison for it.
Okay, so absolutely something that officers will need to be able to advise members on.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you very much for your time.
Thank you.